Thank you. It was at a circus that one of the strongmen decided to do a demonstration. He cut a lemon in half, took half the lemon, and started to squeeze it, and squeezed and squeezed it until there was nothing that came out. Then the strong man turned to the crowd and said, "Is there anyone in the crowd who would dare come forward and squeeze the lemon to see if they could but get a drop out of it?" There was silence, till in the back, a little old lady raised her hand and looked like one of those kind that might have worked in a library, and she had her scholarly look about her. She raised her hand, so the strong man called her forward. So she comes down the center aisle. She had a cane. She gets up there, and the strong man goes, "For $200, if you can get another drop out of this lemon, I'll give you that money." So he hands her the lemon. She grabs it and very nonchalantly starts to squeeze it, and two drops of lemon come out of the lemon. The strong man was shocked. I mean, the little frail lady, he's a big guy. So he says, "I don't get it. What is the secret of your strength?" And the woman simply smiled and says, "Practice. I was the treasurer of our church for 32 years. Okay, so today we're talking about stewardship some more, right? Last week we talked about it a bit, and we discovered stewardship's not a day, it's not a season, it's not a Sunday, it's who you are. That whenever you said to God, "I'm calling on you," meaning that you call on God for shepherd, you ask for forgiveness, you literally acknowledge or use the resources, then you've declared to God and to the world that you're a steward. Every time we say, "I'm going to take from the bank of forgiveness the grace that God has for me, I'm going to wipe that stain of sin clean," you've declared that you're a steward. And that's what we talked about last week, about how stewards are all of us. Acknowledging that God has given everything we have, all of who we are, all that we own, so that we can use it as a benefit to the world. Part of the ways we use all that we are, all that we have, are the words. It's important to use words that build up. So often in our world today, words are used to tear down. They're used to tear apart. It's our responsibility as Christians to take a different stewardship path and use the words that God has given to us to build up and to enrich and encourage another person. We can use our bodies as a means by which we can demonstrate to God that we belong to God, which is we put our bodies in place, in places where it's honorable to God. So we go to places that are building us up, and we go to places that are hurting so that we can use the words and build other people up. One of the other ways that we can use our stewardship is use our mind. Our mind can easily be distracted, and we can spend hours mindlessly doing something instead of focusing on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, going deeper in our faith. And as we go deeper in our faith, we have a greater impact possibility on the world around us. We can use our mind. And of course, we talked last week about our resources. They're very easy. They're very definable. They're incredibly tangible. That's why we talk about money, because you can see what you give, the impact, direct impact, because we have clean carpets. We have electricity to bring lights in here, to run their organ. We have staff, which you can hear them share with us their beautiful music, and they lead the choir. What a gift that is. We have Director of Christian Ed and the impact she has, teaching, and of course the pastor. That's why we talk about resources, a direct impact. It's very tangible to see. Today, we're going to look at something a little different. A woman and her coins. Jesus and the disciples were sitting in the temple, and it was very common in that day and time for a rabbi, a teacher, to take his followers or disciples and just go through life. Take a moment, pause, watch the world that goes around them, and then give teaching moments out of that. This is what's happening here in the scripture that Hank read earlier. Jesus is sitting in the temple. He has his apostles with him, and he's watching those who are moving through the temple, and he's making comment on it concerning what it means to be a steward. Now, before we get to the words, let's get to the setting. Where Jesus was sitting with his disciples was the court of the women. So the temple had four courts. The inner core of the temple is the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest would have gone there. It's where the Ark of the Covenant would have been. It is the most sacred spot on the Temple Mount, inside the temple. Not everybody goes in there. surrounding that's the court of the men. And in that, only men could go. So women weren't permitted in there. That's part of the culture of the day. But they were not permitted in the courtyard of the men. Surrounding that was the courtyard of the women. And that's where Jesus and his disciples were sitting, because that's where everyone is permitted to go, except for Gentiles. See, the courtyard of the women and courtyard of the men and the Holy of Holies, only Jewish people could go there. And so where they're sitting, only Jews were allowed. There's a final courtyard, which is the open-air courtyard. That's the courtyard of the Gentiles. Anyone could go there. But the offering places were in the courtyard of the women, so everyone could give. And the offering wasn't plates like what we have. They were horns, large horns. They were about, 4 feet high. And you would take your offering and you'd pour it into the horn. And it would tumble down through the horn into the secure offering boxes. It made a sound, a loud sound if you had a lot of coins, and a little bit of nothing sound if you only had a small offering. That's what Jesus and his disciples were observing the day in which Luke recorded here. That someone came through with a very wealthy offering, sent it down through the horns, lots of noise. And the widow came with her 2 coins. And we know it was a widow because of the way she was dressed and who she was with. She would have been dressed in her, her garb that indicated that she had lost her spouse. Probably a different kind of outfit. And the fact that she came alone indicates that her husband passed on. And she, being a widow, had less resources. And since she had less resources, we have a call to take care of those folks. It goes across Scripture. The Old Testament's very clear. Take care of the orphans and widows because they have less resources. And it comes into the New Testament as well. That's part of what we're called to do. Take care of those who are the lowest on the economic scale. In fact, James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this in chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So we focus on those who are least and lost as a means by which we live out our faith in this world. Knowing what the widow faced, this is what the rabbi spoke about. Now, the large amounts that went into the horns, I'm going to give you a sample of this. Give you an idea how they would have known how someone gave something. I have a few different coins here. I noticed I have a button in here too. I guess some people throw buttons down the horns as well. But this is what it would have sounded like. It would have been a really loud noise going down all the way into the offering. You'd have known someone gave a large offering, right? You can hear it. It's really loud. Let's contrast that with the widow's coins. By the way, in the scripture Hank read, said there were 2 copper coins. I don't have 2 copper coins because they would have been smaller than pennies in that day and time. You could translate them mites or lepka. And I brought 2 of the smallest in the Israelite currency. These are shillings. They're 1 penny shillings. Interestingly enough, what I hold right here allows you to get into the bathroom in Israel. A year ago, we were there. Not quite right now. We were getting ready to go. But to go in the bathroom, it cost you 2 shillings. And then, interestingly enough, they didn't have toilet paper. And they weren't clean. I'm always like, hey, I paid to get in. At least they should be clean. They weren't. Okay. So the offering the widow made is really just a whole lot of nothing. Did you hear that? And yet Jesus highlights her as bringing the greater offering. His words were, they gave out of their wealth. She gave out of her poverty. See, our natural thought, when we have less, like only 2 coins, our human thought is, I'm going to keep it from me. I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about what's coming. I'm going to keep it for me, myself, and I. I'm not sharing it. I'm not giving it away. Interestingly enough, she gave it. And she willingly gave it so that others would know to whom she belonged. She didn't belong to herself. She belonged to God. And in giving, she not only demonstrated that giving is supposed to be sacrificial, but that giving is out of your heart. that you give because God has given first to you. That God poured His great love, His great salvation, His forgiveness into us, and the end result is that we share. Sometimes, when we share out of what Jesus called the poverty. So her offering, this widow's two coins, two tiny coins, tell us that when we understand the depth of God's love, it's easier to give. Because we know that God's not going to fail us in the future. We know that God will not allow us to fail because God has not allowed us to fail in the past. We experience that love. Now, as I come to the end of the sermon here, I want to say there's three kinds of ways in which we see giving here in our society. It's the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. In order to get anything from the flint, you have to pound it with a hammer. In order to get anything from the sponge, you have to squeeze it. But the honeycomb, it's filled with that sweetness, pours out naturally. The widow, because of God pouring love into her, it was very natural for her to pour it back out. Never here will we guilt you into giving. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to ask you to go deeper in faith to Jesus Christ. Because guilt, you know what guilt does? It makes you have to give. It's like pounding on that flint. You better give. Otherwise, and you spell it out. Now, we just tell you, go deeper in your faith. Go deeper in your love for Jesus. Giving's natural. We don't put the squeeze on you either. We don't stand at the door before you leave and make you give a proportionate amount. We don't send the plates around till you've given an appropriate amount. No, we tell you, you should love Jesus. And out of loving Jesus, you acknowledge you're a steward and you're going to give appropriately back. And when the moment you know Jesus is at the core of your heart, when you place Him down there, giving's natural. We don't have to force it. We don't have to beg you for it. We simply say it's your responsibility to give. This a couple weeks ago, you received a letter in the mail, your time and talent form. And so we ask you to give those three precious things to church as a gift back to God. Give of your time. Make sure you give of your talent. And there are a variety of ways you can give your talent. And then, of course, your resources. That's your pledge card. And you give as you feel appropriate. You give from your heart. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing gift of love that we see in Jesus Christ. And we're grateful that you provide us with what we need to live. May we realize, Lord God, that you won't fail us in the future as you've not failed us in the past. That we can be secure in knowing that we can lovingly share to be stewards of that which you've given to us so that others outside of this building can know the great love of your Son, Jesus. It's in our Savior's name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.